You're listening to Showtime
on URN.
Hello, I'm Ella Vidrinska from Showtime, URN's specialist musical theatre show. And you're listening to our podcast, Spotlight On, where I'm keeping you up to date each week with all the latest theatrical news. And if you've had your eye on social media this weekend, you may have seen mention of a new musical that's just made its way to Netflix, based on the life of Princess Diana. I am just going to preface this by saying, yes, it's exactly as bad as you'd expect it to be. However, I am a theatre fan and I am going to try really hard to let you know some of the positives, but I'm also aware this may just descend into a polemical rant about how on earth anyone ever thought this was a good idea, so do bear with me. First things first, a bit of context. So, Diana the Musical is a brand new Broadway show about the life of Princess Diana. It had just started preview performances in March of last year when, obviously, the pandemic started and Broadway shut down, forcing the show to close before it could even officially open. It is now planned to reopen on stage this November, but in the meantime, they decided to film the Broadway production with all the relevant COVID safety protocols in place and no audience in the theatre at all. And that filmed version has just been released on Netflix, which we will come back to as an idea later on, because I have feelings about this decision that may not help the live show overall, but we'll come back to that. It was written by Bon Jovi keyboardist David Bryan and his usual musical theatre writing partner Joe DiPietro, who also wrote the script for Diana the Musical. Now, can I just say, they together, David and Joe, have created good musicals in the past. I have a real soft spot for Memphis, which won Tony Awards for Best Book, Best Score, and Best Musical. So please do not judge their writing style based on Diana. It is not at all reflective of what they can do together. And as I said, and as the title very much suggests, it follows the life of Princess Diana from the start of her romance with Prince Charles right up until the point she leaves the royal family, with like a very brief sort of touching point on the events of 1997 at the very, very end of the show. I will say it's an absolute whistle-stop tour that does not slow down for a second. You're really hurtling through the years. Like, at one point, she takes off a coat and has a baby. And then about 90 seconds later, she's had another baby. Without removing any clothing at all, it's incredible. The speed of it all does mean that the whole thing feels very superficial. Shocker, I know. And here you were expecting highbrow theatre from Diana the Musical. Like, I do think the longest you ever go between songs is about 2 minutes, and so you don't really get any character development at all. It really does rely on you knowing all of these characters and events beforehand and kind of imposing your own knowledge onto the story of the show, which some might call lazy and underdeveloped writing, and I call it a bloody roller coaster ride of chaos. And honestly, chaos is probably the best word to use here. The whole thing is, at best, absolutely mad. Like, this is a rock musical about Princess Diana. Just let that sink in. A rock musical about Princess Diana. If you've heard any of the songs from the Bryan Adams musical version of Pretty Woman, it's got a pretty similar sound to that in terms of the music, which is fine for Pretty Woman because it's a fictional story. This just feels really out of place. Again, a rock musical about Princess Diana. I will put a link here in the post to a clip of the show and the official cast recording as well, so you can get a flavour of the music, but trust me, it is wild. And the weirdest thing is that it kind of becomes normal. Like, you know in the live-action version of Beauty and the Beast, when Ewan McGregor plays Lumiere and clearly cannot do a French accent, and he starts talking and you're basically going, Ewan, mate, why do you sound Mexican? You're in France. But then because you're kind of stuck with it for so long, it starts to sound normal and you begin convincing yourself that, yes, that is actually what a French accent sounds like. This is what the music of Diana is like. Like, the first few songs were really weird and jarring and, from a musical theatre perspective, really don't add anything much to the plot, which is kind of frustrating. Also, they start with the 11 o'clock number, which should definitely be in, like, sort of two songs before the finale in the second act. It's really weird. But even with that, before long, it begins to feel normal and you're like, ah, yes, another pop rock song. This is exactly what I associate with Princess Diana. It's odd. I will hold my hands up and admit that there are a couple of songs that I've gone to listen to from the cast recording of my own free will. Like, I am a big Bon Jovi fan and some of the songs are David Bryan through and through in terms of the music, and I actually do kind of unironically enjoy them. I do think the lyrics let them down big time though. In fact, I saw someone on Twitter had said that the lyrics felt like someone had just got their first ever rhyming dictionary, and that is absolutely the vibe. It's all very obvious, very on the nose, very clunky. It lacks the nuance and finesse and cleverness that we've become used to in musical theatre. So I realise that a lot of my issues are with the lyrics rather than the music per se, although, again, I cannot stress enough how much this style of music does not suit the story they're trying to tell with Diana. I actually feel like the show would have been way more successful if they'd used these songs, admittedly, yes, after rewriting some of the lyrics to make it less annoying, but then had used them to just tell an original, entirely made-up story about a different character, rather than trying to shoehorn this into the life of Princess Diana. Also, and this is a me problem, I realise, it's just a bad musical. Like, the songs don't really add anything much to the plot or character development. For the most part, I think you could take a lot of the songs out completely and still have the exact same level of story, which is daft, given that, like I said earlier, there is so little dialogue in this show. It's almost entirely music. But also the structure of the show as a whole is very, very bad. It's far too focused on fitting a set chronology than actually telling the story it needs to in the medium that it's chosen, if that makes any sense. Like, it kind of misses all the usual beats of a musical, but then tries to shoehorn them in elsewhere. I've already said they literally start with the 11 o'clock number, which is a firm second act thing. But then, like, the big I want number doesn't happen until about 7 songs in. So you don't really know the motivations for Diana anyway. And then, oh my God, also, the finale song ends with Diana dying. Like, you don't see anything happen. It just sort of is announced that it's happened. But it literally comes out of nowhere. The song that comes before that is performed by the Queen of all people about her own marriage, basically being like, yes, I too have emotions. And then with no transition at all, it's Diana singing about the future she wants and then bam, at the end. What? Where is your storytelling? What are you doing? It feels so basic in terms of what they've missed. Which actually does kind of bring me on to my next point, in that I don't understand why anyone at any level of this show's development thought that this was a good idea. I saw an interview with Joe DiPietro, who wrote the lyrics and the script, and he'd made this comment about how he was so surprised no one had ever done anything like this before, and so he felt it was time to fill the gap in the market. And you're like, Joe, mate, do you think that maybe there's a reason no one has touched the story of this beloved woman who's basically been deified around the world? Do you think maybe there's a reason no one has ever tried to turn it into a random, underdeveloped, badly written rock musical that paints most of these very complex figures as caricatures? Did you think of that, Joe? Did you? Like, at best, this show comes across as chaotic and random and a pretty bad musical. At worst, it's really offensive. It's a very whitewashed, very sanitized version of this real woman's life. And more importantly, a very American version too. It's got that real Bridgerton quality of this is what Americans think the British nobility is like. It really misses the mark big time. But saying that, I will be interested to see how American audiences respond to it. Like, under normal circumstances, we shouldn't be seeing this before it's opened on Broadway. This should have been playing almost exclusively to American audiences for ages before it was ever released online as a film, if it ever even was, that is. Instead, because of the pandemic, because of the way things have worked out, audiences across the world are all getting to see Diana the musical at the same time. And so you're getting a global reaction to this very American-specific interpretation of the story. Which is genuinely interesting because I have always been someone who praises filmed versions of stage shows, whether they're broadcast in cinemas or released online or whatever. Filmed versions of stage shows allow people to see these productions on stage as they are meant to be seen, but without the difficulties of travel or stupendously expensive ticket prices. It's the perfect blend of theatre and accessibility, I think. Look at Hamilton on Disney Plus, or Come From Away on Apple TV, or literally anything that's on Broadway HD, the theatre-specific streaming site. Filmed versions of stage shows are great. And for the most part, I think they really encourage people to go and see the live show for themselves if they can. Like, I got my housemates to watch Come From Away a few weeks ago, and they're now both interested in seeing it in the West End properly, in a way that neither of them would have been without watching the filmed version first. These kinds of productions are a great way of drumming up interest and effectively giving you a flavour of what you could potentially see live. But they tend to come out while the show itself has been open for ages and has already drummed up a lot of interest and a fan base itself. Diana has not done that. Diana, because of circumstances, has released the film version before anyone has seen the stage show on Broadway. And I can't help but think, if they genuinely want to try and encourage people to go and see the show live for themselves, this was a really bad decision. I can't imagine anyone watching Diana on Netflix and then thinking, yes, this is something I want to sit through again, or yes, this is something I'd happily pay $100+ to see. I really worry that they've shot themselves in the foot doing it this way. Like, don't get me wrong, I'm pleased I've been able to see it, but I don't think it's going to build up the support and interest that releasing a filmed version of a show usually would. And that's a really dangerous thing to do before your show has even opened. This is not a good musical, and you've just given everyone around the world the chance to see it for next to nothing on Netflix, where they're then going to review it and spread the word about how bad it is, as we've seen on social media, before the curtain even goes up on Broadway. How do you expect to get anyone into the theatre? Okay, well, maybe that's a bit unfair. As I said, it may be that it actually goes down really well with American audiences. Like, clearly someone has consistently thought that this seemed good enough for it to go through so many levels of production and actually reach Broadway in the first place. So maybe it'll be loved by theatre fans in New York, and I will eat my words. I don't think I will, but we will see. And also, I did say there were some positives, so I probably should mention a couple of them. For a start, the staging and choreography are great. It's been directed by Christopher Ashley and choreographed by Kelly Devine, both of whom are responsible for the same roles in Come From Away. So again, we know they can do great things. And genuinely, as much as Diana is a bad show, the theatricality of the staging and how slickly everything went together was something I really enjoyed. At more than one point when watching it, I said out loud that if it was on mute, I think it would be a great show. So visually, it's very, very well done. That also goes for the costumes, which A, fit the period really nicely, but also B, managed to get through all of the big famous outfits ever worn by Diana. I mean, they're really well designed and fit into the show, but also, Jesus Christ, every time the woman playing Diana leaves the stage, she obviously has a costume change. I don't think there's a time in the entire show where she doesn't disappear and come back wearing something completely different. Some of the costume changes do happen on stage and they're very fun and exciting, but most of them are obviously just quick changes in the wings, which is great and it makes the show look all the more impressive. But costume changes are exhausting and stressful, and this woman is already playing the role of Diana in a show called Diana. Give her a break when she's off stage, please. But if you do watch this, absolutely play a drinking game every time she changes outfit, or every time they mention that she used to work in a preschool, because that comes up more frequently than it has any need to. So visually, it is very impressive. I do also have to say that I think the cast do a good job with what they've got. I quite like Gina DeWall as Diana. I think she lacks the fragility and grace that we typically associate with Diana, but I don't dislike her interpretation of the role, and I do feel that it fits this show well. Ro Hartranft and Erin Davey as Charles and Camilla respectively are fine. They're probably quite flattering portrayals of their real life counterparts, but hey, this is a musical. Who's complaining about that? Broadway legend Judy Kaye then plays both Queen Elizabeth and, in a really weird turn of events, also Barbara Cartland, the romance novelist, which I don't really have words to describe that. That's something you're going to have to experience for yourself when you watch it. And then a special mention to Gareth Keegan, who plays a character that we have affectionately called Himbo James Hewitt, who arrives literally in the middle of a Barbara Cartland novel, shirtless, straddling one of those bucking bronco practice horse riding machines, and clearly hasn't been told what this show is about because he is absolutely auditioning to play Judas in Jesus Christ Superstar. Not gonna lie, hands down, it's my favourite part of the show, and we've watched just that section about 4 times now because it's so hilarious and random. Would recommend it just for that. The thing is, this is clearly a very bad musical. The music is basic, the plot structure is non-existent, it's lazily written and underdeveloped, and it's probably incredibly offensive and in bad taste. However, I had a really great time watching it, and a lot of that is because I was watching it with someone else and we spent the whole show trash-talking it and taking the piss, which is another good reason it's been filmed and put on Netflix, because you obviously can't do that in a theatre. Like, it's absolutely the perfect level of nonsense to watch and enjoy because it is bad and you can mock it. Absolutely 100% do not go into this expecting to like it. It is not good. But it's a bloody brilliant experience, and I kind of want everyone to watch it just for that. I swear, not since the pandemic started have we had one single thing that united people so completely. But everyone that I've seen or spoken to is kind of rejoicing in how trashy this Diana musical is. Like, both The Guardian and The Telegraph gave it 1 star and hated it in equal measures, and I really respect that. So if after all of this you fancy watching Diana the musical for yourself, it's available on Netflix right now. If you want a flavour of the show before that, you can check out some of the links here in the post. And as I said, there are some songs that I did actually enjoy, if they weren't anything to do with Diana. You just have to rewrite them in your head, it's fine. But yeah, it's absolute madness, so consider yourself warned. And on that note, I will say goodbye for this week. Of course, I'll be back again next Sunday evening, twice, first at 6 p.m. live on urn1350.net with Showtime for a whole hour of glorious musical theatre tunes, and then right here again at 7 p.m. straight after that for a brand new episode of Spotlight On to let you know exactly what's going on in the world of musical theatre. Because, as we say, the Showtime must go on. Until then, good night.
You're listening to Showtime
on URN.